Good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this Citigroup conference call. Our chairperson today is Mr. Eddie Lau. Mr. Lau, please go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Citi conference call with Uganda Goldfile. I'm Eddie Lau from Citigroup Research. Today, we have Mr. David Wong from Uganda Goldfile with us. To begin the call, Mr. Wong will introduce the rest of the management team from Uganda Goldfile, and then Mr. Wong will address some of the concerns raised in the market last week. Then we'll go straight in with a David, please.
Thank you, Eddie. Good morning or good evening to everybody. Sitting next to me is our Deputy Chairman, Mr. Peter Lee.
Yes, good morning.
And then Mr. Tony Chek, our Executive Director and Group Treasurer.
Hello, good morning to everybody.
And Mr. Samuel Koo, our Group Financial Manager, also joined this conference call from our Hong Kong office.
Good morning.
Yes. So this is the team in Uganda that we would be pleased to provide whatever clarification we are going to extend to the attendance. Thank you, everybody. And last Friday morning, as we all know, Mr. Webb has issued his articles with some of his opinion on Uganda Goldfile. And I'm sure all of you have read it, and you can find one positive note out of that article is he is based on our notes to account and disclosure in the financial statement. So that means we have been very transparent and been complying with all the relevant accounting principles and regulations in making our disclosure logs, so that it will be open to the readers to read and form their own view. So from that perspective, we do not want to get into an argument of different opinions, because everybody is free to form their own view. And we have addressed a few of the key issues in his articles, which is not factual or which is very acceptable under the accounting principle, and which he has cast some doubt or question on it. And firstly, of course, it's relating to a project he referred to Yonghan Systems working with some public utility company in the gas pipeline project. And as you know, Yonghan Systems is one of our project that we would like to bring from Germany to Asia. And in Hong Kong, we have this e-transport system. And in China, we at that time believe we can introduce this e-payment, e-security system to the utilities. And the project that we work on is in Zhuhai, which is very different from the location which he referred to the other listed company, Grandview. And the one which Grandview was working on at that time is in central northern part of China, which is Chongqing. So this is the first thing, is definitely two different locations, two different projects, and nothing related to each other. And on the other hand, he mentioned about our set off of some receivables versus into consideration. And firstly, accounting-wise, it is definitely permissible. And secondly, we have also disclosed that that's related to one of our customers, which is in the distribution area in Germany, and they are distributing electronic items to the meat market chain store and department store. And again, we have the disclosure made at the time when we convert the account receivable into this investment. And I don't know how many of you have read the press release. If in that case, I'm not going to repeat myself inside, and I would like to see if any further elaboration is required from the attendants on the press release. Now I would like to pass back to to Eddie to lead the Q&A session, please.
Thank you. We will now poll for a question. If you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key on your telephone touchpad. Thank you. Once again, that is number one to register for a question. Thank you. Thank you. Our first question comes from Ms. Gina Chong. Gina, please go ahead.
Jimmy? Hi.
Hi, Jenny.
Okay, yeah. Good morning. I would like to ask a question on the promissory note. I have several questions related to that item. First of all, may I know who are the ultimate counterparty? That's question number one. Number two is, can you give us some background of having those promissory notes? Is it business related or just a pure financial instrument? And then number three is, when I look at the effective interest income from the promissory note, the interest rate actually declined quite rapidly over the past several years. What are the reasons behind? And lastly, if the company has idle cash, why not they use the cash to pay off the loan? Thank you. Those are my questions.
Okay. Thank you, Jenny. Firstly, the promissory note, the parties that we are placing with is also relating to your second question. There are two segments of our promissory note. One is our advances to some of our business partners. And if the advances to our business partner is within 3 months, then that will be classified into this cash equivalent. If more than 3 months, then that will be put under short-term investment. Secondly, we also place some of our surplus cash into some finance company, some financier to earn the interest income. Basically, the average interest rate that we have been enjoying under the promissory note is at around 7% per annum. Concerning our trade business model, we are a wholesale business. We are in wholesale business. So in doing our business, we will be receiving our receipts from the customer under DA or DP. But it is not always matching that the TR will fall due or the cash repayment loan, the cash loan will fall due at the same time. So during this temporary period, we will set aside some of this cash into the promissory note for earning better interest income. And also, Uganda is believing in strategic alliance. In prior years, we believe in acquisition, but in the meantime, we have basically finished our target for the acquisition. So we are now working more on the strategic alliance in the retail network or distributor or importer area to participate 10 to sometimes, if JV is possible, maximum 50%. And from that perspective, we would also like to set aside some cash pending such target to go for. The 7% per annum interest rate itself is has been on average in the last few years.
Hi, David.
Yes?
Hi. Can I follow up on the counterparties? According to my understanding, you explained that the counterparties are your distributors or your partners. So I understand that those promissory notes are unsecured. So say, okay, if the distributors or your business partners have some operating risk, then that means you will be at the risk of not collecting back those promissory notes.
The answer is yes, if you assume this happens, and of course every time when during the year end, when the auditor doing the audit, one of their audit work is to assess the value and the recoverability of these advance the promissory note, and they so far have expressed the true and fair view in presentation. So that means the auditor is also comparing the value of the promissory note as of the balance sheet date.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Jeff Tang. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. Actually, in I think Webb's article, he mentioned that the there is a note in 02 annual report, which I didn't actually find, is there is a deal that relates to a gas company in China, and he suspects that, well, he is alluding to that it might have something to do with the same deal that's being investigated by the authorities in Hong Kong. Is it the same deal? Is Ghana involved in that deal on the investment on the investigation at the 02 2002 deal?
Firstly, this is two separate deals. As I begin with my speech of this call is a little bit too fast. What I said was our project at that time that we want to introduce the Yonghan systems is in Zhuhai. Zhuhai is in southern part of China.
Okay.
And the other company project is in Chongqing, which is in the China, central to the northern part of China.
Okay.
And secondly, yeah. Ghana has no business relation with the company, with the Grandview referred in the article.
Okay. If I may ask another question?
Yes, please.
The promissory note that you were just explaining, is it, are these with the same customers and rolled over year after year and after year?
No, not same customer, different customer, and then it is not a rollover. Normally, they will mature and then we'll pay it back, and then when we have cash available or when they need some kind of advance for the support for the business, and we think that is the viable, then we do it. So it is not an automatic renewal. It is a lot of redemption, and then later, with certain period, and then they come back asking, or some other customer we see, we should do some advance, then we do some advance.
Mm-hmm. Are these the bigger customers, or are these small customers?
They are small to medium size, and not the biggest customer. Biggest customer like Chris or Carver or Casa, they don't need to come to us for the advance.
Okay. Are these things usually categorized as receivables? Why is it a promissory note?
If it is a receivable, and then it is a hedge against certain of product delivery, and this is just an extended credit, an advance, which is not supported by any order delivery or order confirmation. So from that perspective, if they are within 3 months, then that will be classified under cash equivalent. If more than 3 months, then that will be classified as short-term investment.
Okay, in the cash and cash equivalent, how much of the cash equivalent are these kind of promissory notes?
On which date? Maybe I talk on the total promissory note in the let me just hold on. My colleague Samuel is passing me the annual card.
Okay.
On the interim. Maybe we can look at our interim report, page 6. There is, under consolidated cash flow statement, there was a breakdown of cash and cash equivalent of, if you look at the 30th of November 2006, the latest 6 months audit, unaudited interim, 427795 is the cash and cash and bank balances. And then the promissory note is 820918, of which around 50% will be related to the advance to business partner and the suppliers, business associates.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Ben Andrews.
Hi. The advances to the small and medium-sized businesses, what percentage of your revenues do you do with them?
What percentage may... I guess that is a very good question, Samuel. Can you help me out? Did you hear? Maybe I repeat what Samuel just told me. Around 10% of our business volume.
Okay. And why isn't your chairman on the call today?
Sorry, I missed your question.
Why isn't your chairman on the call today?
Our chairman is now on the sabbatical leave, and in Hong Kong, we have the four of us available. That's why the four of us would like to share our joint effort to entertain the clients of Citigroup.
Is it a good business to essentially fund your customers' businesses? I mean, why do you want to do that?
This is what we call the one-stop-shop solution, the approach that Uganda has been practicing and tried to develop with our customer. And one-stop-shop solution, we normally provide four so-called functions. We beginning with that in Germany. In Germany, there are certain business activity which are not common in Asia, which is called cooperative business, meaning there are many independent and individual retailers. And then we in Germany form a co-op partnership. At Uganda is the general partner, and all these individual retailers will work together, they still being the owner of their own shop, and yet they will share a common name that Uganda is going to provide to them. For example, in Germany, one of the group is called Dugana, because Dugana is a brand name we have, and then we share the Dugana name with around 1,100 retailers in the Germany. So our general manager role are fourfold. Firstly, we ensure there is supply of our products to them within 60 days. To other customers, normally it's 90 days. So at least to our own so-called closer business associates retailer, they save 30 days on the delivery and the working capital. Secondly, we will do the what we call cooperative advertising. In our trade fair, we also promote this co-op member. For example, in our own house fair, Uganda Fair, which is held in spring and in autumn, we also have a special area for all these Uganda members to participate and have the special shareholder meeting for these 1,100 retail members, so that we can have this what we call co-op advertisement. And the third is our POS training. Since we would like to have our 5 to 7 products of our group be made available to this type of network, so that when the people get into the shop, they can see our peer watches or jewelry, like Omega, which does not belong to us. They will carry it. However, they can also have 5 to 7 of our brand items inside, so that you can see and you can show more consistency in the marketing. And the fourth one is this advance. This is what we call the financing support. Because they are not very big, but they are very effective retailers, So sometimes if we have special program, let's say we are few years back, like launch the tumor in Germany, we would like to give some kind of financial advance to make them to be more committed to our carrying our product.
From the previous call, you mentioned the amount that was lent to these small and medium-sized businesses. What was that amount? That was somewhere around 800 million Hong Kong dollars, correct?
No, 400 million. 800 is our total promissory note classification as of 30th of November 2006 in the page 6 of the interim account.
Right. So where is the other? Who is the other 400 lent to?
The other 400 are advanced to a certain finance company in Hong Kong and in overseas.
And finance is what? You're buying commercial paper or you're financing their business?
No. We buy the commercial paper. That means this company, they issue the commercial paper.
Right.
And then we buy into the commercial paper for a period of within 3 months, and that will be classified under the promissory note in the cash equivalent classifications.
So if you have 400 million to small and medium businesses that do about 10% of your revenues, so that's what, 400, 500 million Hong Kong dollars. So you're financing everything for those businesses. I mean, all their inventory, everything, because I don't see how... you sure it isn't more like 20 or 30% of your revenues?
November time, those persons that we have made some advance, the business partner, and for those, according to my colleague's family calculation, they represent around 10% of our revenue. Then, of course, if we include others like the co-op members that I mentioned earlier, then the volume of the business will be much bigger than that, because like Together member, we are serving them with already, including Together brand itself, normally within 5 to 7 carriage.
Can you speak about the closed-end funds you're invested in and what they are and why you're invested in them? Not the investments in companies within your industry, but just the closed-end funds.
Oh, yes. In fact, the investment in the closed-end fund, we are not interested in the closed-end fund itself as our primary objective. The thing is the closed-end fund, they have underneath their investment in the company which are either trader or importer of electronic or consumer products. And our participating in this closed-end fund is no different from our ongoing belief of strategic alliance in distributor, importer, or retail network. And as of today, we have three strategic investment, which one is in the U.S., two is in the Asia, and they are similar to the nature of the closed-end fund you referred to.
Who put together the closed-end fund?
Who put together the closed-end fund?
Yes, you could just go to these. You could just go to these strategic people yourself and invest, but you chose to do it through some kind of investment vehicle. Who put that together?
The fund manager of those closed-end funds is a Hong Kong-listed security group called UpBest Asia Asset Management, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of UpBest Group Limited.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Christopher Beck. Thank you.
My questions have actually been answered. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Anyway, good morning to you.
Our next question comes from Mr. Ryan Chen from Pacific Eagle.
Hi, Mr. Wong and other management.
Yes.
Morning.
Morning.
My question is, David, you start the conference call with a comment on that Mr. David Webb's all their research basically is part of it come from your accounting reports, right? And this is one of your prior of your disclosure. But in view of this incident, some of the your practice have been kind of challenged by at least one of the industry players here.
Yes.
So going forward, do you have anything in your mind that you can improve further on your financial transparency disclosures, because you have been putting quite a lot on your operations when you meet the fund managers in the past 1 or 2 years, but on the financial side, of course you have done your disclosure in the voluntary disclosure in the auditor reports or account, do you think of you will add on more of your voluntary disclosures on your announcement or public reports like auditor's reports? What is your opinion on this front?
Yes, thank you, Brian. Firstly, you say voluntary disclosure. Right, we have already disclosed above the statutory requirement or the principles in our accounting standards. So we are already more transparent than many of our peer group. And secondly, there is always a limit that we can be voluntary, because there are also business secrecy provisions, meaning the trade provision in our contract with the various parties. So it is not a matter that we just want to say and then say it out. If we say it, that will affect the business, that will be against the best benefit of the company. And I know now is on a Citigroup conference, I may not be fair to call an analyst of another company. Last night, Isabella returned to Hong Kong. I'm sure you know Isabella from BNP, and then she called me and have some encouragement to me, so on and so forth. And then she said, David, in fact, your transparency of the company is very good, and whenever we meet up with the management of Uganda, if we ask the question, if you ask an answer, you will definitely answer it. And Brian, I will still try to be as transparent as possible, and we will put whatever we can disclose to the extent that is permissible without breaching our trade and business secrecy provision.
David, I understand your point about the business sensitivities.
Yes.
But what I try to make is address is 2 points. One is that in the framework of this special events and investors' conference, confidence is definitely kind of compromised. So you probably need to do something that can further improve transparency. That's one front. Second is, I think in addition to conference call like this, that we are talking about numbers and talking about things like explanations on P notes, right? I think you can put something on your auditor reports without compromising your business.
Yes.
Activities like you can talk about, if you cannot talk about who are the promised looks eastward, you probably can talk about who the top five accounting for how much of that particular amount, or how is the top five been moving across the years. I think disclosure in auditor report can make more add more weight than some of the conference calls that we have in the past 1 or 2 years, given this special event.
Uh-huh.
I think in the past, people may not put that much of emphasis on purely on the auditor report, but since you yourself also talk about that auditor report is one of the key reference points to people's research, so adding some of more disclosure directly to your statutory report can definitely help a lot. That's my comment here.
Thank you, Brian. Point taken. I've written that down already, so it is a very good suggestion. Definitely, we will do it.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Allison Law.
Hi, morning, David.
Hi, morning, Annie.
Hi, sorry, I'm traveling in China, so I have some technical problems at the beginning, so I might have missed part of the presentation. But I think I have three general questions. One is, why is Ghana investing in businesses, unrelated businesses like forestry and gas pipeline, when, to my understanding, your company cash is quite tight because of the heavy working capital needs? And secondly, I just heard that there are four people from your side that is on the call, but I thought there should be other gentlemen from Germany as well. So maybe if you don't mind, can tell me again who's on the call? And I reserve my last question later. Yeah.
On my left-hand side is Mr. Peter Lee.
Hi.
Our deputy chairman.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then he was in Germany last week, and he arrived Hong Kong this weekend, so he joined us in Hong Kong for the call. And then Mr. Tony Chek, our executive director and group treasurer, and he also sitting next to Peter. And further to his left is Samuel Koo, our group financial manager. So this are the four of us joining this call.
So no gentleman from Germany.
No, no person from Germany, because now Germany is still in the midnight. Anyway, may I answer your first two questions?
Yes.
Because they are very simple and I can answer it right away. Firstly, on this forestry and the pipeline, both are relating to our Yonghan division. And in Yonghan, we have two technology inherited on acquisition from the third party in year 2000. One is called radio controlled technology, which is a kind of mechanism to receive frequency so that the watch can be self-adjusting and very precise. The second is called Yonghan systems, which is a transponder system, meaning put in a chip into the watch or a card, which can read and write against a reader so that it can serve as a e-payment, e-transport, e-security, or e-lock, e-door lock. And at that time, we believe these two programs should have great potential in mainland China. And Olympics is a very good basis for us to try to convince the China government to change the law so that their frequency can be allowed for public access. In all countries that they have this transmission, they transmit the frequency is normally for military use. However, like Germany, like Japan, like US, they are being convinced to change the law to allow frequency above 40 kilohertz to be accessible by public. And secondly, we believe with the Olympics Village, which is to be built, then that would be a good chance to convince the Olympics Committee about this, what we call Yonghan system. Meaning, we can have e-payment, e-transport, e-ticketing, so on and so forth, to be put in the Olympics program. And then we partner with this group, which they are approaching and have direct contact with the Olympics Committee for building hotels, supplying wood and building material to China. And therefore, in that cases, we have tried to see if that can be done. And unfortunately, when we talk to the China government in Xi'an, which is the area to distribute this type of frequency, we find that it has been signed with a private contract to the ex-commissioner of that observatory. So that means the government cannot change the law in the near future. Secondly, what is the Yonghan system, also they do not see the e-ticketing is a secured means or e-not will be something they will invest in. And therefore, both Yonghan radio controlled and Yonghan systems are not doable
in the China under this Olympics concept. So we have therefore did not pursue this project further. On the gas pipeline, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is relating to the Yonghan system trying to do this e-payment at the household home, so that the e-payment can allow the public utility supplier to receive the money from the user first, instead of the current system of after they use it, and then when they try to read the and then to collect the money, they always normally encounter problems. So we have tried with this Yonghan system with the Qihai project. Nevertheless, nobody is prepared, meaning no household customer was prepared to pay for the reader to be installed at the house. And the public utility company, they are also not prepared to pay for the reader. And that means you will end up on Yigana shoulder. And in that case, we would not have good enough profit for our transponder card and the watches. So that means it is not a viable business at this stage. And therefore, we did not proceed further with the participation in that Qihai public utility company project. And then we have redeemed from the project. And now Yonghan in China, we are doing in a normal distribution and retailing manner, meaning selling to department store, and we have appointed one agent in China which runs seven shopping shops carrying our Yonghan's program carrying our Yonghan's watches. But the Yonghan's radio control watch is not functioning in China other than Beijing and Shanghai, so the radio control watch is more a clinic for the moment in China instead of really functional like in Europe or Japan or in USA.
Sorry, David?
Yes, Elephant?
So, in total, how much have you spent on these two... I should say, how much have you spent on pitching these two projects? And are they completely expensed or...?
Oh, no. Firstly, Yonghan's on the gas utility project, we have advanced 70 million to join them to do the thing. And then that, since we did not proceed further, we have got the 70 million back. And at that time, we also, in the 9 months, have do our own Siemens is in Germany, our partner on the reader. We have also tried to invest something to convince the Chinese party the reader is not too expensive, and we have incurred around 10 million Hong Kong, which has been expensed during that year under as a write-off of our product development cost. On the Olympics, on the forestry Olympics one, our cost, which incur basically a lot of traveling, meeting, hotel time, which is something around 7 million Hong Kong, and we have also written off when we did not proceed the project further.
Okay. I'm just a little bit confused, David, because on your name card, I understand you're the executive director of the company, but from other sources, I also understand you are the CFO of the company, and from the newspaper, they also describe you as the comsec. So are you all of the above functions of the company?
I joined the company as a full-time executive director from January 2005. Mm-hmm. And my full title of the company is called Corporate Planning Director. So my three duties under my corporate planning is firstly is the risk management and budgetary control, which I was assisted by a team in Hong Kong and in Germany, to also from the US of our budgetary review. And the second one is the compliance, which I was assisted by a team of COMSEC and council staff on the licensing, on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange compliance. And the third is, of course, the investor relations, things which I'm also participating in, and I am also assisted by a team in Hong Kong and Germany. And in Ghana, we, for important function, normally we have two heads. And on our finance team, on the director level, Mr. Tony Chek and I are sharing the co-finance head of our finance team. And Tony is dealing more on the treasury side and the financial reporting side. And the treasury part, meaning we meet more with the bankers. And then I serve on the other side, on the budgetary control, on the management review. And I met up with the investor side more. However, sometimes I also join with Tony to meet up with bankers and vice versa.
So, when is Mr. Seeberger back to work?
His current sabbatical leave is continued until end of September.
End of September. So, will he be available during the results announcement?
Our results announcement is around September time, so still within his sabbatical leave. But afterward, when we have the shareholder meeting, which normally is in November, that will be after the sabbatical leave.
So, sorry, can you remind me, when was Mr. Seeberger starting his sabbatical leave?
He started in sabbatical leave from April.
From April. Okay, because as you understand, we've been trying to meet up with him since end of last year, and it's just that there are consecutive special events that happened recently, and I would imagine that even if someone is on leave, and someone that is taking up a very important position within the company would at least conduct a conference call or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's purely my personal opinion. It's just a little bit unnerving that, you know, with all these special events happening, and we cannot even hear Mr. Seeberger speaking any of the conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And before I left for my China trip, I think Citigroup said that there will be two other gentlemen from Germany attending this call. And if you know the timing is an issue, I just can't understand why you didn't tell Citicorp earlier.
Yeah. Anyway, Alison, point taken. I've written it down, your suggestion, just like earlier when Brian mentioned about the suggestion on further disclosure on any report. So.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at least if Mr. Seeberger is not available, then Mr. Peter Lee should have been, you know, attending those conference calls early on.
Okay, because I'm in operational with and the accounting details, I have to rely on my people, you know. But I will try to attend as much as I can, other than my engaged activity. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Sharma from Lotus from US. Please go ahead, sir.
David, can you explain why the investments in some of these companies were made through closed-end funds and kind of special joint ventures instead of you making a direct investment in some of these companies?
So, the thing is very simple. If we can go with direct, then we go direct. It is only that we cannot go direct, and we have to invest into this for our business. So like 2006, for example, many of you know we have invested directly into a U.S. Shoes distributor company, the House of Brand, or KIA Group. If possible, we should go direct.
Okay. Can you also explain to me this other listed fund that exists, InQtech? Can you explain, one, first of all, why it exists, to why it invests mainly in Egana stock and Egana-related ventures, and also UpBest stock. I'm just trying to understand what the purpose of setting this entity up was and what purpose this entity achieves.
Firstly, Egana has no influence over IncuTech because Egana itself has no not a controlling shareholder of IncuTech. And secondly, IncuTech is an investment company which is by itself independent of Egana. And I was not an executive director of IncuTech since its inception. When I was working in my previous tax consulting firm, which I served in my tax consulting firm until November 2004, in May 2004, when I was still working in my previous tax consulting firm, we are invited to provide some CompTech service, and then I was being named as the company secretary of IncuTech, and I did not, even today, I'm not involved in any of the operations of IncuTech other than overseeing their annual report and interim report compliance with the listing rules for the announcement and shareholder minutes, AGM notice and things like that. So basically, it is a CompTech role.
I'm just trying to understand why this entity exists. It's relatively small. It invests mainly in Egana stock and stock, joint ventures or part transactions that Egana is involved in some way, and it also invests in UpBest stock. What was the purpose of setting this type of entity up?
This is in Hong Kong. There is a very special section called Chapter 21 of the Listing Rules, which in the early 80s. There are many companies, they form this type of investment vehicle to invest into a listed and private company with a view for bringing them public, things like that. So I got more experienced investment banker here in Hong Kong, so I don't want to be too smart on that, but I understand there are at least some 20 to 30 such type of investment fund company being formed under Chapter 11 in the since 2000 or so.
David, can you also explain what your relationship in the past and today is with UpBest?
Sure. In the past, I worked as a full-time tax consultant at the as a full-time employee of the tax consulting firm. In the year 2000, when UpBest Group was seeking a listing on Hong Kong Stock Exchange, I was invited to serve as one of the three independent non-executive director to serve the audit committee. In Hong Kong, it requires to have three independent non-executive director, and they also require within these three, there is one with accounting qualification. And I myself is an accountant by profession, and therefore I was invited to serve as independent non-executive director. And I continue the same as an independent non-executive director of UpBest Group. And
what kind of work does UpBest Group do for Egana, and what kind of work has it done in the past for Egana?
UpBest has been serving as one of the three underwriters in 1998, where we, at that time, spin off the Egana Jewelry and do the right issues to acquire GoFile. And that is the financial advisor work that UpBest Securities Limited, the subsidiary of UpBest, has been performing to the group. Secondly, we have also, since 1993 or 94, maintained a brokerage account with UpBest Securities, the securities arm of UpBest Group.
David also the UpBest controls or is the manager of some of these closed-end mutual funds that Egana invested in?
Yes. UpBest Asset Management, the fund manager company, wholly owned subsidiary of UpBest Group Limited, was the fund manager of some of the strategic alliance that we have invested in. But they are not fund manager to Egana. They are not providing service to Egana in that capacity.
Okay. And then, as far as I understand from your annual report, in the past, at one point, you sold rights to Yuhan's brand in China and also sold 10%, I think, of Yuhan's at one point to entities that are controlled by the owner of UpBest Securities, by the controlling shareholder of UpBest Securities. Is that correct?
These two are different. Firstly, you mentioned about the tonic, is it? I heard the voice, is it? I want to make sure I understand your question. Shamo, would you like?
David, so when I read your annual report, I'm not sure I have all the details exactly right, but when I read your annual report, there's a mention of, in 2000, Egana selling rights to Goldfield, to the Goldfile brand in Greater China, and then buying that right back, you know, in, 2 years later. And then there's also a mention of Egana selling a 10% stake in Yuhan's Asia to an entity. Also, this is also in that time frame, and then later again, Egana buying it back. It says in the annual report that a listed Hong Kong company was the controlling shareholder of the listed Hong Kong company was the person that was controlling, that was a counterparty to this transaction, the person that you were selling it to. Is that UpBest Securities? Were they involved in those transactions?
No, not UpBest Securities. No.
Okay, so that was with somebody else. That those transactions, selling this piece of Yuhan's, and then selling, selling Yuhan's Asia at another point in time.
No,
those were with a totally separate group.
Yeah.
UpBest had no involvement.
Yeah. Not with UpBest Securities. Not with UpBest Group. Yes. The short answer is yes.
Okay. David, I want to second the thoughts of the previous caller. It would be very helpful if we could hear from Mr. Sieberger as soon as possible, given everything that happened the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have. Thank you. I appreciate you taking my questions.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Samu.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Zhong Xu from Goldman Gold Bond. Thank you. Sorry, gentlemen. I think this put us on hold. Can we go to the next question? From Christopher Beck again. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, David. I noticed that you've just halted your stock on the exchange. I didn't think you were going to do that. How come you've done that?
Because I'm very focusing on talking to you. I have to chat with my colleague.
Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
I was focusing on the conference call, and I have to check of what you just told me. What would you say if there was suspension?
The stock's just been suspended, a couple of minutes ago.
And I better excuse myself from the call, and I should go back and check on this. Eddie?
Hi.
Yeah.
Eddie just stepped that out.
But, okay.
David, I think, if that's the case, I think you will be busy. But
then I should rather like to call the stock exchange, maybe. If you don't mind, I hope I have addressed most of the questions. And if you don't mind, we just finish the call now, and let me go back and handle my work. So thank you at least for everybody today of sharing your time and your question to me, and I hope I have answered you the best that I can. And anyway, thank you for everybody. So Chris, would you like to allow me to go on with our job when I heard of this information? Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Everyone.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for your participation. Thank you.
Thank you.
To listen to your instant replay, press 1. To rewind,